Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If you are a Christian, you have heard those words, follow me. Now the question is, are you following? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not asking that. My question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ?
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, This is a Sock. There's actually a friend of mine here today who knew a coach by the name of John Wooden and met with him, and that was an extraordinary experience, I'm sure. I'm going to read you a little, I found kind of the way this really went down, but if you know anything about John Wooden and the first day of practice, this will be familiar. The first day of practice at UCLA was always a day full of anticipation and excitement as the new recruits awaited the arrival of Coach Wooden, known affectionately as the Wizard of Westwood. As they waited, each wondered what secrets of the game, what strategies for winning would spring forth from the famous coach on day one. Please take off your shoes and socks, Coach announced to the team. Seating himself upon a locker room bench, I'm going to show you the proper way to put them back on. The new players looked at one another in disbelief. Had the old man lost his mind? What on earth did this have to do with basketball? Not wanting to question their leader, they all complied and waited for what would come next. Now, when you pull on your sock, he said, showing them through example, I want you to make sure that there are no wrinkles or gaps. As he puts his own socks on, make sure heel is full seated in the heel of the sock. Run your hand over the toes and make sure to smooth out any bumpy areas. Then he showed each player how to properly lace his shoes and tie them snugly so there was no room for the shoe to rub or the sock to bunch up. As Coach Wooden got up to leave the locker room for the gym, the players behind him were silent, still wondering what their coach could possibly be doing by starting out the season talking about shoes and socks. Here they were, the best schoolboy players in America, and this legend had just spent 30 minutes teaching them about shoes and socks. Just then, Coach Wooden would turn around and with a glint in his eye say, that's your first lesson. You see, if there are wrinkles in your socks or your shoes aren't tied properly, you will develop blisters. With blisters, you'll miss practice. If you miss practice, you don't play. And if you don't play, we cannot win. If you want to win championships, you must take care of the smallest of details. Coach then walked away, his first practice complete. Now, let me try to kind of explain to you some of what happens here. There are a lot of people that are Christians in the world, but they're not on a team. And when you show up at a gathering like this consistently, then you have demonstrated that either you are curious about the sport, and as it turns out, this is no sport, or you are a Christian. You have come to the place where you understand that Jesus died on a cross for you, shed his blood to pay for your sin, was buried and raised from the dead, and that now you are in his family, and he is the Lord of your life. He is the boss. He is trying to not just run your life into the ground or something more horrible. He's trying to turn you into what he intends for you to be. And what that is more and more like him. He also, if you read scripture, never intended for Christians to have to operate alone. They gather. We are a family. And if he has placed you in this family, he has put you here for a reason. We have lost people through the years because some people like to come and say, yeah, I'm a Christian and I think this is cool, but you know what? I really have my own way of doing things and I really don't want to participate. I like the sport. I like being in the gym, but I really don't like anybody telling me what to do. It is very difficult to coach a team where people are not willing to participate. The only reason you leave a church is if God himself tells you to leave a church. So if the Holy Spirit has sent you here, then you got to figure out why he sent you here and play ball and get on the team. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, verse 18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Normal scene, walking by the coast here. These guys are fishing. Then he said to them, Jesus speaks to them, and what's the first thing out of his mouth? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And those two words were so compelling to these fishermen. Look what happens. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them and immediately left the boat and their father, and they followed him. If you are a Christian, you have heard those words, follow me. Now, the question is, are you following? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not asking that. My question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Which means if he says, or if you're following him so closely, he doesn't even have to say, put your nets down. You go, you know what? Yes, sir, I'm on it. I will follow you. So you say, well, I think I heard follow me somewhere along the way. How would I know if that's really the case? Here's what he said. Follow me in what? I will make you fishers of men. You will know if you're following Jesus, if you are catching men and women. So you say, well, what does that mean? It means what it just says right there. You say, well, I went fishing. Doesn't that count? You know, you never have much trouble. There's a restaurant I love going to in Dallas, and all over the walls of this place are people holding up fish. They didn't go fishing. They went catching. They caught fish. There's not a single picture in the whole place of someone standing with a pole. They're fishermen. Here's fish. Now, you say, well, I think I know where you're going. I don't like this. That's okay. Sometimes a coach has got to say things that you don't like to get you where you're supposed to be. You say, well, I live out my faith. At some point, now listen closely, at some point, you're going to have to take it a step beyond that or you're not following him. Because if you're following him, he is going to lead you to hurting people who are hungry, searching, and want answers, and they don't know where to go, and they are waiting for you to catch them. And say something. You go, well, what if they reject me? Well, you don't quit fishing because your line breaks. You pull the line back up as fast as you can, put another hook on it, and bait, and bam, you're back at it, right? Who quits fishing because their line breaks? Or if one got away, you try again. This is my verse in the Bible for evangelism. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, here's the tough stuff. When is the last time you caught somebody? I'm not here to shame or embarrass anybody. You say, well, Richard, you know, you've got some kind of spiritual gift. There is no such thing in the Bible as a gift of evangelism. There is a gift of evangelist, but everybody can catch fish. If you're following him, you're catching fish. So you back out of that and you say, well, then what could be the problem? You may not be fishing. Do you leave your house every day? And I don't do this every day. But do you go on your way saying, Lord, I am following you. And you said, if I'd follow you, that you'd make me a fisher of men. I'd sure like to catch something today, Lord, because sitting on the bank this way is getting really old. You'd be amazed how many more fish you catch if you were actually expecting to catch some fish. Now, here's my dilemma. They say, well, coach, you know, we're going to feel bad when we leave here because we haven't been doing what you're doing. Yeah, but we might start catching some fish. And that'd be good for him, that'd be good for us, and that'd be good for the fish. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Similar thing here, just so you know, I'm not pulling this out of the hat in one place. Matthew 9:9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. If you're a Christian, he has asked you to follow him. The question is, are you following him? The answer can be no, and you still can end up in heaven. It's just, it's not working down here. Matthew chapter 11, turn over there if you would. Shifting gears here a little bit. Verse 25, let's jump in there. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. In other words, just simple people, just young, not sophisticated, just young. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and to the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then another one of these little phrases, come to me. Now, if you ever hear Jesus say these words to you, it will change your life. You read these words and finally you get it, that that's what he's saying to you. You say, well, I'm following him. Yeah, but there's sometimes he just wants you to come to him, like a beeline straight to him. Come to me. Who is he talking to? All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The world's way will exhaust you. God's way will give you rest. The book says the way of the sinner is hard. It doesn't mean God's way is easy, but it is not hard. I can spot someone who gets this stuff just like that because they have joy. They are not these mean, angry-looking people just about to chew the steering wheel off driving down the road, you know, just up there on it, just like, get out of my way or I'll run you over. And then you mention Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian, but they're mean as the devil. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. See, someone, if you're carrying a yoke and it's not Jesus' yoke, you got it somewhere else. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know what? My yoke that I used to carry was not easy and was not light. Now, he doesn't say you can't live without a yoke. He says, swap your yoke for my yoke, and this thing's going to go a lot better. But you got to come to him and trade in your yoke. And then he shows you how to pull it right. He shows you how to do it effortlessly almost, where when you get done, here's how you know when you're pulling with his yoke. When you're done, your work's done, you feel rested. He restores you. You're not like, oh my gosh, I'm dead. You feel more alive. You go, wow, that's crazy. I did all this stuff. He did it in me and through me and showed me how to do it, and now I'm rested. It works. One more simple phrase, John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I've even prayed this and been screwed up when I prayed it. You know, I mean, we're all in the same boat to some extent. But you go, oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. I mean, it's almost like an echo of whatever, dude. What are you talking about? You're telling me you love me? You're not keeping my commandments. The stuff I tell you to do, you won't do. So stop telling me you love me. Because indication that you love me is that you would obey me. Your kids come in and they've disobeyed. Oh, mommy, I love you so much. You know for a fact they're trying to manipulate you, right? So don't try that junk with God. It'd be better if you walked in and you said, you know what? I'm a piece of work. I deliberately disobeyed you and I'm really sorry and I'd like to make some changes. So I'm asking you for your forgiveness. I'm repenting. And the reason that I'm here is that I'm responding to your kindness, your gentleness. I know you love me and I got nowhere else to go and there's no one better than you. So I'm telling you, I love you too, Lord. And you're going to see some changes in my life because I'm going to start to obey you and do what you say to do. That makes sense. Jesus says it. If you love me, keep my commandments. You say, well, I can't keep all the commandments. Just pick one. Just figure out the one that's, you know, beating your brains in and go, okay, Lord, I can't do all these other ones yet. Let's try this one. Go to John 14. John 14, verse 21 and following. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Like, I'm just saying, if you thought, well, that was just a little, maybe you read it out of context. Here's another context. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, it says, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Go to John chapter 15. John 15. First verse, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Stay connected where the power of God flows in and through your life. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, a branch by itself without being attached to a vine cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do what? nothing. You have got to start approaching your life this way. You can't wake up and say, well, I'm kind of tired of the whole God thing this week, so today is for me, and I'm going to live my life by myself and do what I want to do. Without him, you can do nothing. It is a complete waste of a day. You have to stay abiding in him, connected to him, where that never goes away. You say, but I'll never get a day off. He builds that into the system. Even plants get a rest. Think about it. They're not just cranking out fruit all the time. You go, well, it looks like that tree's dead. It's not dead. There's a process. If you're walking with him, he is not going to burn you out. It's not possible. When I see Christians who are burned out, I know something is wrong. There is no balance. The Holy Spirit will not burn you out. That is not God's way. There'll be rest for your soul. And then John 17, verse 20. You know what? Hold that one. Go back to Luke, verse 11. Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place. So Jesus has these disciples. They follow him. They're with him all the time. They're observing what he does, how he lives, the whole process. Comes to pass, he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, then one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They knew that John had taught his disciples how to pray. It's fascinating to me how praying, like if you've been here a long period of time, you've been coming to this church, and I pray, there are certain things that I pray, and the way I pray, and whether you like it or know it or not, you are praying like me. You use phrases, you use things. I promise you, I've been in homes, I've been with people, grandfathers, whatever, they pray the same prayer at a meal, and you know what? Somebody sits down to pray, hey, why don't you pray? It's almost verbatim the same prayer, because that's where they learn how to pray. You've got to learn how to pray, because if you're praying and someone is hearing you pray, they are figuring out how to pray from you, and if they know you pray and they don't know how to pray, sooner or later they may ask you to pray, and you got to be able to tell them. That's part of this coaching process. Along these lines of the coaching thing, and people say, well, you know, you jumped on us about being fishers of men or sharing our faith and catching people. You say, I don't know how to do that. I promise you, for year after year, message after message, I pray a simple prayer, and you have no idea that you even know it. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried, raised from the dead. I ask your forgiveness. I accept the gift of eternal life. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. I ask you to come live in me, through me, change me. You accept the gift of eternal life. You know what these words are. If you just say, Lord, use me, they're going to come out, because you don't even know what you know. So just kind of go, okay, Lord, I'm willing. Let's see what happens. I'll tell you what will happen. Someone will become a Christian because it's not that you don't care. You're just afraid. Or you got your own crap in your life that you won't get out of the way between you and God to let something happen. So they simply said, Lord, teach us to pray. So he said to them, when you pray, say, and he didn't say just drone on and on with this prayer. He gives them a prayer that covers the bases. You say, well, I know that prayer. I'll just pray that every day. Hopefully that jumpstarts the rest of your prayers. And he's not saying this is all you can pray. He just says, this is some basic stuff to say. And then you might splinter off of that. But I recommend, if you don't know how to pray, memorize that prayer if you don't know it already, and at least pray that every day. Okay, go back over to John chapter 17. John 17, verse 20. And this is a great, in the context of the prayer category, this is a great chapter to go read, because this is literally what's kind of sometimes called a high priestly prayer. This is Jesus, a prayer that he prayed while he was here for the people that were there at the time, as well as for us. And it's amazing to read. It's going to be more amazing to hear Jesus' voice, but to read this and know that this is what he prayed in our behalf. He says, I do not pray for these alone. In other words, the people that were there with him at the time, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Why is it so important for us to be one? Unified as a team, on the same page, going in the same direction. Because without God, that is impossible. And what is the result of that unity when it's working? That the world may believe that you sent me. When we do what we're supposed to do, the world goes, Jesus was really who he said he was. They believe it because they look around and see us. Now, there are some people who show up at this little church and say, wow, this is really cool. You got black people, Mexican people, Asian people, Our numbers are low there. White people, some white people. You know, you got all these people. You got poor people. You got drug addicts. You got really nice people, clean, sober, never done anything wrong in their whole lives, just let be born a sinner. You know, that's their only problem. You got all these people. This is really cool. And they come almost and go, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, this is cool. But almost sit on the edge and say, well, this is really nice, but you know, I want to be a part of it, but I really don't want to interact with these poor people that you have here. God bless them. Here's a check. Do something for them. But you're not going to expect me to interact with these Mexicans, are you? I could have gone anyway with that, but you know what the answer is? Yes. Well, I'm not even sure they're legal. Now, you're laughing, but that's the kind of ignorance we have to deal with in our world. I'm going to tell you a quick story if Beto's okay with me telling a story. Beto becomes a Christian years ago, shows up, and I told this story. I went to some immigration meeting the other day, got invited to some what's going on in Washington. And you said, well, you're not really going to go there. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go there. Beto shows up, becomes a Christian. And in the process, I said to Beto one day, he had come here, but was not here legally. And I said, Beto, you're under a different standard now. You got to go back. You've got to go back to Mexico or be here legally, or you're going to live in fear as long as you're here. Now, who's going to tell anybody that? You know what? The truth is not complicated. You say, oh, but I'm getting all nervous. You don't have to be nervous. It is okay to expect people to do the right thing. So, we even had a seminary prof that was in the church at the time, a bunch of men. We all go down to the immigration office. He goes in, tells them the situation. We're there to vouch for him. All these things go down. Long, long story short, Beto is here legally. He is not afraid anymore. He did the right thing. Now you say, but what if he had gotten sent back to Mexico? That might be where God wants him. Well, but it's more convenient here. Well, it might be more comfortable to drive around a stolen car too. That doesn't make it right. He said, well, you're going to offend a whole group of people. I don't care. Because if we reach any group of people, we're going to tell you what Jesus says, and there's a higher standard. And when we live by that standard, he blesses and he takes care of you. You may be there, maybe here, but you don't live in fear like you. I used to live in fear all the time. I don't live in that fear anymore. Just follow him, go to him, abide in him, trust him, talk to him. What do you think praying is? It's just talking to him. And then when he says to do something, just do it.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
And you say, well, why? It all seems so simple. Yeah, these are just some of the basic stuff. His word, finding out what it says, doing that. It's back to John Wooden. You know, this is a sock. This is how you put on a sock. And when you don't do the simple things right, it complicates your life down the road because you get blisters, you get problems that you could have avoided if you had done the simple stuff right. So pull back, say, okay, Lord, am I doing the basic stuff right? And is there some complication in my life by not doing that? And if you are listening somewhere beyond here, or you're here in this room and you don't have a church, or you're here and you go, you know what? I think this is where I'm supposed to be. You don't have to like everything about this. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like anything, but we got to love each other. And it's amazing what can happen if you love each other. And say, okay, Lord, I'm in. My desire is still to take the planet. You say, but we're just a little church. It's just us. So how could that possibly happen? Because God is bigger than you and me and us. Amen. Right? So please, you say, well, I don't think, here, now listen close. You say, well, I don't think we should be doing that all that out there. Really, I would love to hear your reason. Why, if God himself has opened a door and given us the opportunity to reach the planet with the gospel, why, that would be a bad thing. Now, if he says don't do it, I'm game for that. But I haven't heard that yet. I don't think he would have given us a target that we couldn't shoot at and hit. And he said, go into all the world. He didn't say the universe. He said the world. So it must be doable.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.